another day, another opportunity to worship and come together. Thank you for your presence being with us, Lord. From the worship to the word, we thank you, Lord. Now as we read your word, Lord, and you speak to us through your word, Lord, give us godly wisdom, give us godly insight, Lord. Reveal you the secrets of your word to us, Lord, so we can apply them to our life and we could live for you. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. It illuminates the way as we try our best, Lord, to navigate through a broken world, a dark, dying, decaying world. Without your word, we don't know what to do, what to say, where to go, how to act, how to repent, how to confess. We don't know what to do, Lord, without your word. But we thank you, Lord, that the life is in your word. Bless us now. Bless your word. Open our ears to hear what God is speaking to us today. For this season of our life, we ask for it, Lord. We need it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, I'm going to start with a message before the message. Proverbs 22. For those of you that had an opportunity to read today and for our guests and our visitors, we start each morning in the Proverbs, or each day in the Proverbs, I should say. Some of us, we get into it in the morning. We do it every day. We've been doing it every day since our last family retreat, and we have our family retreat coming up next month. So 8 or 9 months reading a proverb a day. Today is the 22nd, so we are in Proverbs 22. Also, family, see Brother Raymond. If you plan on going on the retreat, please sign up with Brother Raymond. Men, sign up with Pastor Manny for our second Saturday. The books are in. We're getting ready to really get into a beautiful season as men, trying to determine the will of God for our life individually and collectively as we come together. So see Pastor Manny. We start the second Saturday of June. And I believe you all voted. I didn't vote, but you all voted for 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. On a Saturday morning. I didn't vote for that. I just want to put that out there, okay? But I'll be there. Amen? Because that's what the men voted for. So we'll be there at 8 a.m. And we're looking forward to it. So, family, here we are. Let's let the Proverbs replace the horoscope. Amen? That's our goal this year. Now, we look to the one that created the stars, not to the stars. And it amazes me how people can get so excited about the word in a fortune cookie and not excited about the word of God. We're not looking for fortune cookies. We're not looking for what sign are you. We're looking for the word of God daily. So I just wanted to point out a few things in Proverbs 22. Then we'll get into the message. Proverbs 22:1. Says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. If you got a good name and the loving favor of God, you really don't need anything else. Amen. Then God gives us the formula through his word for success. Verse 4. It says, by humility, by humbling ourselves and respecting, reverencing the Lord, are riches and honor and life. That's the total opposite of what the culture tells us. But God says this is his formula. And then verse 19, and then we'll go ahead and get into the message. It says that your trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to you this day, even to you. Amen. That's just a few of them. And when you get your time to go through chapter 22 today, there's so much more in there. I just wanted to bring those highlights. Family, let's do this daily. Tomorrow, get into 23. 24 is incredible. And then we start back over on June 1st, right back at Proverbs 1. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let's go to our lesson for today. Let's go to Colossians 3:5. Colossians 3 and 5. And we're still talking about the old and the new. How we have to put on the old and throw away the new. So here we are. We're in the fifth month. The fifth month of the year. We started at the beginning of the year putting on the old, taking off the new. So now we're in the book of Colossians. We're going to do a quick review, get into the lesson, and then that should be it for this morning. let's start at verse 5. Did I say Colossians 3 and 5? It says, mortify therefore your members. We already talked about that. It seems to kill your members, but it's not talking about kill the members of your church. It's not saying, I'm not going to kill you all. Don't worry about that. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, but to put to death or deprive of power your members on earth. It's talking about the members of our body, our hands, our feet, our mouth, our ears, our eyes. Deprive them of their power when it comes to sin. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you touch, what you allow to touch you, where you go, where you don't go. Be careful what you, how you let your mind wander and drift in the thoughts, because when they manifest, if we don't deprive them of power, then they manifest in fornication and uncleanness and inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. As I was studying those things, when I was looking at these things, they speak to the battle within yourself. The fornication, where you allow fantasies and different things like that to just take your mind where it doesn't need to go, and then you act upon it. The uncleanness is impure motives. Why do you really do what you do? What's the motive behind the motive? The inordinate affection is this strong lust, depravity of the mind, and evil concupiscence is wicked lust for something that is forbidden. And it says greediness or covetousness, which is you're never satisfied. And then idolatry is the worship of false gods. Those are things that it's kind of like internal. And it's saying you got to deprive your members of power. Otherwise, these things will take you over. They will, although it starts in the mind and in the heart, then it gets out of there and becomes an unfortunate reality. But this is a battle. These things right here, and it's a comparison that I'm going to do in verse 8. But these things right here, they start in the heart and they try and make you think that God is not enough. They try and convince you that where you are and what you have is not enough. So I need something else. My marriage isn't enough. I need something outside my marriage. My singleness isn't enough. I'm not complete just being single in God. I got to do something else. My job is not enough. My career is not enough. My spouse is not enough. My ministry is not enough. And these things come from the inside and just try and take you over to make you think that you're not enough with God. It's the battle within yourself. That's why in verse 5 it says you got to deprive your members of power. You got to keep these things from taking you over. And then if you look at verse 8, it says, but now also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, these are the things that directly affect those that are around us. So we have a battle within ourselves, and then it directly affects those that are around us. Now it's filthy communication coming out of my mouth. It's anger and I'm upset, and wrath means I'm going to hurt somebody real bad. So now the battle is taken from within myself. Now it's affecting those that are around me. So that's why you got to stay disciplined and put the members to death. You can't, your mind, we talked about in Philippians 4:8, make a note of that. We're talked about how to think. when you see your mind wandering, you pull it back in with the word of God. So this is all talking about put off the old and put on the new. And this is the battle we face for the rest of our life as believers in Christ. It's the spiritual warfare that we are involved in, that the old always wants to come back and take over the new. It's a daily battle. We had our purpose and purity class with our young ladies this morning, and just letting them know that this is something you'll deal with for the rest of your life. Trying to live for God. Happy New Year. That's it. This is the battle that we all walk with. Now, here's the difference. It's the difference is, it's a struggle versus a practice. Don't get the struggle mixed up with the practice. All right. Struggle is, you know, I'm trying, I'm fighting every day. I'm trying to live for God. I'm doing the best I can. And I'm struggling with that. A practice is, I just do what I want to do because everybody's doing it. It's not a big deal. I belittle it. I make it seem like it's all right. Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. So, and God forgives me, God knows my heart, and I'm good. So that's when you practice. And God says, no, if you're living for me, there's no way you can practice. There's no way you can rationalize sin. I was born like this. Well, the word tells us in John 3 that you can be born again. So, but do you want to? So don't confuse, because we all struggle with something. That's the toughest thing. We all struggling with something, but hopefully we're not practicing it and belittling it. Whereas this is just who I am. God has to understand me. That's totally contrary to scripture. So here we are. Now, next week could be Youth Sunday, and we'll be a little bit lighter, okay? I know, all right. I didn't mean to come back and just drop the heavy one on us, but this is it. We'll lighten it up a little bit for Youth Sunday next Sunday, amen? But we're still talking about the old and the new, and we got to understand the battle that goes on within ourselves that manifests outside itself and the spiritual warfare. Okay, verse 7, it says, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. So it's saying, I'm sorry, verse 6, too, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And those are the ones who just practice this is the way I am. God is not pleased at all. Struggling, God understands that, and God helps us through his Holy Spirit as we struggle from one situation to the next. God is with us, amen? Within the struggle, that's why we need God. If you don't sin, you don't need God. If you sin, you need God, which we all do. But it says in verse 7, in which you also walked some time when you lived in those things. It was a time when we just lived and we did our own thing. And all these types of sin and idolatry and all that kind of stuff. Verse 8, but now you also put off all these. We went over these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So there's no place for lying to one another. Got to put it off. The old man wants to lie. The new man lives in spirit and in truth, tells the truth, operates in truth, at least transparency with God, being real with each other. And I know as we start our men's fellowship and continue it, we'll be talking about how we can be accountable to one another, how we can be truthful and honest and transparent with one another, not to get in each other's business, because we don't need to know your business, but we need to hold each other accountable so we can be the men of God that God has called us to be. Amen. Amen. That's all that's about. We don't want to know your business. Trust me, I don't. I got enough of my own business to handle. All right. But I know as men that we have to be, and we all have to be responsible for our own spiritual growth. Yes. And the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. If we don't come together, if we don't be transparent, if we don't help each other grow, then we'll get picked off. And we already know that if what affects us as a man affects our entire family. So that's what verse 9 is saying. Verse 10, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created us, or created him. make a note that We're made in the image of God, and that's the moral image of God. All our morality comes from God. We're made in the image of God. Morality comes from God. It does not come from society. Society doesn't know what it wants to do. Society doesn't know if it's male or if it's female or if it's both. You cannot judge your morality based on society. They have no idea. They want to get rid of God, but we're a mess without God. So we're made in the image of God. That's why we know when stuff is wrong. We already know it's wrong. Because we're made after God in his image of knowing right and wrong. So we put on the new man, the knowledge, the image of God, which who created us. Then look at verse 11. Says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So it talks about there's no difference. And it's unfortunate how society tries to say that Christians are what? Exclusive. Everybody needs to be tolerant and inclusive. But right here, God says there's no difference between anybody. You can't get any more inclusive than this. The difference is, do you want to be included in God's family or you want to be included in the devil's family? That's the only choice we have to make. But God says, I will accept anyone. God is not the one who's exclusive. God is totally inclusive, but on his terms. You can't come to God telling him what you're going to do. You need to come to God being surrendered to what he's already told us to do. Look at our, keep your finger here. Look at Romans 10:13. Can't get more inclusive than Romans 10 and 13. And as usual, the devil flips the script and makes it look like that we're the ones, we're narrow-minded, we're bigots, we're intolerant. But that's what the devil does. Where God is saying in Romans 10:13, for whosoever, you can't get any more inclusive than whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be rescued. I mean, how can you miss that? That's anyone who wants to be saved, who wants to come to God on God's terms, can be saved. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's look at Second Peter. Let's go to Second Peter. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. When it talks about the new man, it talks about being grown up. Excuse me. The new means renovated, means grown up. God is saying, hey, we got to grow up as Christians. We have to grow up if we're going to live this thing. We have to be. We're made after the image of God. We've been produced. We've been manufactured by God. And so now we get to Second Peter 3:3-8. So Peter's having a conversation with the other Christians. They were a little discouraged because they thought the Lord was taking too long to come. Amen. Anybody been there like, Lord, when are you going to come straighten this mess out? And they were talking about the day of the Lord. When is the Lord coming back? We've been waiting so long. We've been ministering. We're getting tired of ministering. We're getting impatient. We need God to come like yesterday. And so Peter had to sit him down. It's kind of beautiful, too. This is good news. He says in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Because they're saying, when is he coming? When is he coming? He said, look, God is outside our time frame. Okay? Let's get that straight right now. To God, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. He's not on the same time frame that we're on. We're stressing out, when is he coming back? When he says, stop worrying about that stuff. Don't be ignorant about that. Slow it down. But look how beautiful it is. It kind of gives us a hint that as we're spending eternity with God, we'll never get tired of God. We don't even know we'd be there 1,000 years. It just seemed like a day. People try and make you think, well, when you give your life to God, you're going to be boring. What do? You sit at home, you read the Bible, you go to church, and it's just so boring. It's not. When you're in Christ, I mean, just the peace, the joy, the comfort, the strength that comes with it, I can roll like that all day. In the midst of everything that goes on, 1,000 years is like, you don't get tired of God because you can't exhaust the scriptures, and God can do so much to one who's committed to him. What it says, eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. You have no idea what God can do for you. You will not get tired of God. You will not get bored of God. You'll find that God has so much planned for your life, but the enemy wants you to continue to spin your wheels and live a frustrated life and not be committed to anything. And you'll never tap into the true essence and the power of God by doing that. So a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. And that's why God gives us free will to commit to him. Because most people don't want to be bothered with God. We'll spend our 70, 80, 90 years here without being, I don't want to be bothered with God. So why would you want to spend eternity with God and you don't even want to be with him for 70 years? It doesn't make sense. You will not be with God. And so most people, good morning, mama. What is happening? We're going to talk later, mama, but that's all right. I taught you better. You taught me better. Anyway. Mama, you can't come in and get me all mixed up and stuff. Now. You already know. You already know. You already, hey, we were hanging out Friday and she made that clear, amen? We were hanging out just a few days ago. She made that very clear. So here you have a 1,000 years and a day, and we're spending that time with God, and we won't get tired of God. God won't get tired of us. It'd be a beautiful thing. Now here's where I was trying to get in verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack. And he's telling them, look, God is not, you know, he's not going to let us down. Okay, God is not lazy. God is not, you know, God is not off somewhere doing something else and has forgotten about his promise. As some men count, but he's long suffering to us. We're not willing that any, underline any, should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. It's all about God wants everyone to turn around and come back to him. So why is he tearing? Why is things falling apart? And God, because God has given a few more people to have the opportunity to come back to him. That's why God is not out doing something else. He's trying to wait for people to realize that he is the way, the truth, and the life. When you look at that 1,000 years and you look at that and that day and the years, if we're fortunate, what do we get? How many years will we get if we're fortunate? How many years would you like if you're fortunate on this earth? 90? Okay, 95. And let's say God gives us pretty good health and we're still in our right mind. 95, Lord, we'll take it. Thank you. But compared to the scriptures, that's just a blink of an eye to God. Don't sell yourself out just for a blink. Don't get distracted and sell yourself out for the blink. It's a whole eternity waiting for us, and we'll never get tired of spending that. Don't get caught up in the blink. Don't get distracted, discouraged, depressed, despondent because of the blink. Don't. God has so much more for us. Don't let the blink get you off track. We're going to be here and we're going to be gone. Amen. Don't live for the blink. Live for the eternity with God. We will never get tired. It says that Enoch was, it was what, two people in the Bible that never died. That was Enoch and Elijah. It said God told Enoch, just come up for a day. But the thing is, it's always daytime in heaven. So he stays waiting for the day to end, which it won't end. Just come up for the day. He's still waiting. It's not going to end. Because we know the light of God in Christ illuminates heaven always. All right, verse 10. Let me try and wrap this up. But then he tells him, Peter tells him. Remember, this is Peter who was with Christ. This was Peter who denied Christ. And then Peter who was with Christ after he resurrected for 40 days. Peter was there getting instruction from him. Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter went out and wouldn't stop talking about Jesus Christ until they killed him. That's the only way they shut him up. So here's Peter instructing this church in his letter. He's saying, look, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are there, and shall be burned up. Don't get distracted by the blink, because it's going to be all gone. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holiness, conversation, and godliness? Saying all this stuff is going to be dissolved. Man, I want to quit my job. I should quit my job tomorrow. If all this stuff going to be dissolved, let's quit our jobs tomorrow. Amen. No, don't quit your job. Don't quit your job. But don't let your job stress you out. Don't let the people at your job stress you out. Don't let nothing that's going on in the world stress you out, because it's just a blink. And when it's all said and done, it's going to dissolve. Don't let your house note stress you out. Downsize, get you an apartment, because in the end, it's just going to burn up with all the other stuff. Don't let your car note stress you out. Let them come get it. Then ride the blue line, because when it's said and done, it's going to dissolve anyway. When we really believe, if we really believe what God says, then why are we walking around stressed out about stuff that's going to dissolve and it's not going to mean anything in the end? That's why it's a beautiful thing to come and gather Sundays and Wednesdays and as often as we can, just to put life in perspective. Because enemy makes you think, you don't have this, you don't look like that, you're going to be his, you're this going to be that, you're going to be that, your kids are tripping, your wife's tripping, your husband is tripping. Then God comes and says, calm all that foolishness down. Put this in perspective. Stop living for the blink. Start living for God. It's this word, all the answers are here. Peter had to slow them down, saying, you guys are tripping. I don't want you to be ignorant. You're walking around ignorant. The day with the Lord is just like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Stop looking for the temporary. God is not into the quick fix. He might not come back in our lifetime. Either way, you got to serve him. Don't get caught up in this stuff, because it's going to dissolve. Live for God. Verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. When you get a chance, look at Revelation 21, and that talks about the new heaven and the new earth, because all this is gone, and it's a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth, were indwelling righteousness. Amen. All right, so here we go. Wherefore, verse 14, let's end with this. Wherefore, beloved. Like he's saying how much you're beloved. You're not only loved, but you're beloved. You're deeply loved. Wherefore, deeply loved by me and by God. Seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. As we're looking for God, be diligent that you may be found in peace. That's free from havoc. That's the blessed state. When God comes back, you on chill. You trust in God to the point where, God, I'm with you and I'm good. Make a note that you may be found in peace and not falling to pieces. God does not want to come back, find you falling to pieces. And that's spelled P-I-E-C-E in case you didn't ask P-E-A-C-E. Anyway, all right. It's two different words. God wants to come back and find you in peace. Remember when Christ, when he resurrected, when we did the Easter message, first thing he said unto them when he showed himself after he was resurrected was peace be unto you. But they chose to be terrified, remember? So you have a choice. You can live in the peace of God or you can continue to fall to pieces. Amen. And that's our choice. He says, without spot and blameless, which means you're committed and you're loyal to God. Not just believing in God, because we know the devils believe and they tremble. But you're committed to Christ. That takes away our spot and it makes us blameless. So we're committed to Christ. We're loyal to Christ and we're living for Christ. That's the way he wants to find us. Peace, committed, loyal and sold out to Christ. Amen. We'll pick up the rest next week. If you would, let's just take a minute to close in prayer. If you would, just bow your heads. As we are in this, we're in this season, and the season that doesn't go away, which is the new and the old, where I'm trying to live for God, but the old man is in the basement and he keeps coming up the stairs and knocking on the door, trying to get out. Say, let me handle it. Well, we can do better when we worry and we go handle stuff ourselves, but we've been studying for 5 months now, the new and the old. So, Lord, we just want to pray as a body that God help us to commit to the new. In the midst of the struggle, Lord, we want to be that new creature. We don't want to go back to the old. In the midst of the struggle, we're not going to practice sin. We're going to fight against sin. We're not going to make it a practice and say that it's okay because God understands. No, because God says we need to be renewed. We need to be grown up and renovated is what the word renew means. So, God, I'm just praying for anyone here. Praying, Lord, that you would give them the courage, the desire to be renewed in you. Give all of us the courage and the desire to be renewed in you, Lord. We don't want to be the same. We want to do better. We can do better, Lord. You working through us, in and of ourselves, we can't do it, God. We need you. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will continue to lead, guide, and direct us. Let us get into our word each morning. Let us seek you first thing in the morning, just for 5 minutes a day, Lord. Let us get up 5 minutes earlier and get into your word and ask you to guide and direct us. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you that you're not slack concerning your promises. Some men count slackness, but you're long suffering toward all of us, not willing that any should perish. You don't want to lose any. You want us all to come unto repentance. You want everyone to turn around and say, God, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. So as we close out this service, Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. That's my first step. I need to be covered by Christ. I need to accept him into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand if you've never accepted Christ before and you want to make today the day that you accept Christ. Young or old, if you've never asked Christ into your heart, let this be the day. Maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, I just need to get back on track. I need to rededicate. I need to get renewed in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit. I need to just get back on track with God. We're halfway through the year and I got to get it together. I want to make that rededication this morning. I know I can do better and I want to do better. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home and just need somewhere to plant my feet where I can, from the worship to the word, I can get good, solid teaching. People that love God and love God's people. I want to be around where there's no games and no tricks and no gimmicks and drama. We're just going after God. If you're looking for a church home, you want to unite with us, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. We're not members, we are family. Lord, how we love you on today. God, you're great and greatly to be praised. You've challenged us through your word, Lord. You've left no doubt on what we should do from here. Stay close, live for you. Stay close and live for you. And we thank you for that, Lord. To anyone else, Lord, who wants to rededicate or get saved or join, come on up now. How we thank you, Lord, how we love you, how we bless you. I'm going to ask some of the ladies to come up. And just as we pray with our sister Brandy. Just lay hands. Lord, how we thank you that your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How your word says that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And Lord, is whether we're standing or not, Lord, we're all making the commitment to be better, to do better. After being challenged by your word, Lord, we want to do better. We don't want to be the same. We know we can do better. Holy Spirit, give us the desire, the strength to be the best we can for God. So we thank you for our sister. We thank you for the ladies that are here. We thank you for the men that are sitting there and saying, God, I want to do better.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, as I'm standing here, God, I want to do better.
Yes, Lord.
So we thank you, Lord. It's all about repentance. We need an atonement for our sins. God, you did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves, so you had to come and die for our sins. So we thank you for that, Lord, that you rescued us. That's all it means to be saved, that you rescued us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. And for that, we say thank you. That's why we're committed to you. Not that we could ever earn it because we couldn't, but because you died for us and because we are saved, we want to live for you. Be a great witness and example to the love and the goodness of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all these lives in here. Thank you for South Bay Abundant Life Church, the family that you've given us. Oh, we bless you and we love you. We thank you because there's none like you and there's nothing too hard for you. Thank you for giving us a second chance to get it right. Thank you that you've never left us, you've never forsaken us. You're right there with us as we go through the valley of the shadow of death. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And just in the next few minutes, Brother Jack, come on up. I want some of the men to come up and some of the men come up and let's just want to pray for Brother Jack. It's looking good. We thank God for your healing. Thank God for your strength on the floor. Yeah. Let's lay hands on our brother. And if you would just extend your hands, we're just going to take a quick minute to do this. And Lord, how we thank you for your healing, for your power, Lord. Praying right now for our brother and all those who might be ailing physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, Lord. Just pray for a total healing for all of those that are here, Lord. So as we lay our hands on them, Lord, you said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Just want to lay our hands on our brother Jack, Lord. Thank you that he's here this morning. Continue to strengthen his body, his mind, his heart. Pray for his family, his kids, his wife, Lord. Strengthen them as they journey with him, Lord. Pray for the doctors and the diagnosis and prognosis, the treatments, Lord, that you give them wisdom and insight, Lord. To heal his body for your glory, Lord. We give you the glory for him even being here this morning, and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
It's a committed brother. Elder of this ministry, Lord, we're so grateful for all that you're doing in his life and all that you're going to do. So we pray for healing. Said if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So we stand on your word, Lord. Pray for recovery, total recovery for our brother Jack, total recovery for anyone under the sound of my voice that's needs healing emotionally, emotional healing, spiritual, physical, mental, God. We know that you can do it. You are the great healer. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals. Send your healing, Lord. Thank you. We bless you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.